Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Weekly, we are brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Check out AllAccessMMA.com for our video podcast, MMA stories, and MMA news. Ed, a lot of news breaking today, a lot of chaos in the last few days. take it where you want to go, brother. Take it where you want to go.
I mean, last few days, last few hours, it's still going on. I mean, we got to jump right into it because we had something else planned for today. There's a reason we're recording late, by the way, guys, so apologize for that. We had something else planned for today, and then something else happened to change that, and it seems to be for our benefit, because if we didn't wait a day to record, we would have recorded before the UFC shit hit the fan with UFC 294. Not hit the fan per se, but you know, big last minute changes to the very important parts of that card. And then obviously the news of USADA and the UFC are apparently having a very, very ugly, as we speak, as we're recording, they're having a really bad breakup on it's a tumultuous relationship that has to still go on contractually, but by next 2024, USADA will be no more. And it's literally like, we're like, Matt and I were just talking before we started recording, because so the statement USADA released was pretty much was dropping fault on Conor McGregor and just pretty much a lot of shade. And then the stuff that the UFC came back with made it to the point that Hunter Campbell, UFC COO, his official title, he's the UFC's lawyer, in other words, and Jeff Nowitzki had to hold a press conference that I don't know if it's still going on right now. I know they had to address it. I know that USADA had to address it, their legal, you know, call by 5 p.m. your time. So it's literally like 30 minutes past that, or we're like 30, 40 minutes past that now. And I don't know if it's still going on or what. I mean, if you want like the most immediate, accurate updates, Aaron Bronstetter has been putting on he's got a super long thread about everything that happened, including their new partner, which is the same people that do the NBA, NFL, NHL, Drug-Free Sports International. So it's the DFSI. So, I mean, I don't know how folks are going to say that in 2024. I thought they were going to use the WWE wellness program given the ownership and everything, but this is like a real shit show.
Yeah, no, it's pretty comical. it's pretty comical. Everything that popped out, just seeing the back and forth and the bitching from both sides. And I mean, I've been saying Connor's on steroids for the last year now, year and a half feels like. So there was a reason why he left USADA. Let's not be stupid. I know they're not going to come out and say it, but like acting like they're going to sue USADA over it. I mean, at that point, doesn't Connor have to kind of prove he's not roided out? I mean, it's pretty blatant what was happening, and it would have been better, honestly, in my opinion, if they just would have said he was taking a leave to get medically cleared.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Or an exemption. You know, that's not like they haven't done that
before. I'm good with it, though. USADA was a joke. USADA didn't catch anybody. It was a nuisance on fighters. I mean, I literally went to events and saw them like pee testing Phil Johns, the guy, the submission guy, was in Bellator now, was in UFC. I saw him literally like him getting rushed into the bathroom like minutes almost prior to his fight.
Oh wow.
It was the tough finale when all the Nico Montoya Montano event. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just grabbing a beer going to take a piss, and here comes USADA pushing a guy into a stall in the bathroom, and you know, the guy's hands are wrapped, and you're going, this seems a little bit unnecessary.
I think the process involves a blood drawing with a needle too. So they're sticking a needle in a guy before he fights. Seems a little stupid thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just know, you know, I overheard kind of the talk, step into my office and do your thing kind of thing.
Because one of the things I'm reading about this new, as I was trying to catch up with everything going on, this DFSI, apparently they use something called leeching where they don't have to break the skin. It's kind of like sucks shit out of the guy. That's why they call it leeching, just like a leech, to get the, you know, the stuff they need to check people for testing whatever they test for. But it's crazy to watch. It's the reactions from USADA, because like after everything that happened, just before recording, that they just said they stand by their statement of what they said of everything about McGregor and the UFC, and it just seems to be, and if folks didn't watch what's the guy, the tank top guy again, that Dana White
told, Pat McAfee,
he was on his show earlier today, and he kind of like said, you know, just wait, this is the quiet before the storm, because when they released that statement, that he was on that show, and that's when he said he was going to, you know, our lawyer's going to be handling it, and that's where all this stuff is coming out now, and it just seems like it's like two very spiteful, you know, crazy people breaking up. It's like Glenn Close from Fatal Attraction is breaking up with Gordon Gekko. You know, I know it's the same actors, the same movie, but like, it's just crazy. It's just, I've never seen two people go back and forth legally or whatever it is. And so the first question that comes to my mind is like, okay, they're saying Hunter just told people they're going to keep moving forward because the contract's till the end of the year. So everything, you know, fighters are asking, do we still have to do all these tests and answer the door when these fuckers come and bother us and all that stuff? And he's like, yeah, everything is status quo until 2024. But now you guys are being so pissy with each other. How do we know that these people aren't going to sabotage your events and say, you know, everyone's fucking, you know, I know that would be lying, but the way that they're acting, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah. I suppose that could happen. My more thing would be, so what if somebody pops? What's the UFC going to do? Are they going to enforce it, or is it reset everything on January 24 or January 1st? Because basically this is just going to be in-house drug testing. Mm-hmm. Sure, they do it for all the other leagues and stuff, but nobody in those other leagues tests positive for steroids. We're back. We're basically back to the golden era where only the stupid people will test positive for steroids. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be. That's how it's always been, you know, in all sports, it's only going to be the stupid people. It's going to be the people that have it on the shelf behind them when they're getting interviewed by somebody, or they're going to be so juiced out that it's just going to, you know, they're going to break the ski, you know, it's going to be or you're going to be guys like Chael Sonnen who just don't give a fuck. And basically we're like, catch me if you can, you're going to catch me a few times and I'm going to get away. And other times, you know, and I'm going to make as much money as I can and perhaps boost my abilities enough to get world title shots and get paid. And who cares if I lose? I still made $4 million. You know what I mean? That's kind of the thing that I think might end up happening. And, you know, I like the idea, honestly, of them being open to using stuff to heal from catastrophic injuries, like it actually being out in the open. I've said that for probably a decade now. Like, why can't we just regulate what they allow these people to use, because knowing that they're doing it anyway, and anybody who's been around this sport understands the physical demands. And it really is impossible, in my opinion, from what I've seen, to be at the top of the mountain and not be doing something, at least on the way up to get there. Because at some point you're going to get banged up, you know, at some point you're going to need it. And I'm not saying people are shooting horse testosterone, but there's the banned list stuff is pretty wild. I mean, me and you, we could go down and buy the stuff that would get us popped by USADA. You know what I mean? So I just feel like there's a happy medium perhaps where you go, okay, we'll allow up to this certain amount because you're doing this and you know, but your opponent's allowed the same thing. And maybe it's even regulated by the UFC or not so much by the UFC, but by the guy whoever took down Saddam, apparently is that's another sweet little mix there.
Yeah. Pirro is his last name, is a former FBI guy. Yeah.
Which I find a little bit ironic, because was it Saddam Hussein essentially wrongly accused of testing positive for WMDs? And now this dude's testing for PEDs. Like, you weren't very good, right? We basically We were in a 20-year war with Iraq over WMDs in theory, and he never had him. And this is the guy that interrogated him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that good on the resume or bad?
I don't know. I think it's a strange pick. I mean,
is it supposed to be intimidating? Is it supposed to be like, let's get somebody who the fighters might be like worried that he's going to waterboard him or something? Like what?
Yeah, like is it Liam Neeson from Taken or is it?
That's what I mean. Is he going to plug him into the wall or something?
Is Denzel Washington like the Equalizer? Yeah, that's a good question.
Jack Bauer, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like a real, because what is the guy's background to do that?
Independent administrator of the promotion's anti-drug program. Nolan King tweeted out his Wikipedia if you want to look into his background. I'm just looking at it right now. Special agent in charge of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Miami field office, and team leader and lead interrogator of Saddam Hussein interrogation team in 2004. So I don't know where the I don't see anything about like drug testing on there.
So he's like the Hunter Biden of
I mean, if anyone's a Hunter Biden of anything, that's not a good look. but so the whole thing is just like, it literally, like, I forgot what fights were happening this weekend. You know, first, like yesterday, it was like, okay, you know, the changes to 294, which we're going to get into, and we'll be doing our picks early because we're taking off next week. But, you know, like when the news of those fight changes, you know, in my mind, I was kind of like, okay, you know what? More interesting than what was initially there, because honestly, like 294 felt like a non-card because obviously MSG is the following month as far as their pay-per-views go. And it just seemed like it was kind of, you know, sure, Oliveira versus Makhachev was a nice matchup and, you know, interesting and all that stuff. But, you know, when they made these changes that they made, it kind of just like made my interest more so. And now I kind of want, like, I didn't give a shit about it before. And now I'm, you know, obviously I looked up the card and we're going to do our picks and stuff. But looking at it now, I'm more interested with the main and co-main event than what was initially there. Because I already forgot who it was supposed to be, Costa and Chimaev, which is just weird that Chimaev doesn't seem to. I guess he can only fight when they're there now. Well, like, I don't know what his deal is, but yeah, it's just that was yesterday, and then, you know, that happened late Tuesday into Wednesday, and then today all this USADA stuff. It's like, I know there's video that Junkie's gonna have up of the whole press conference that I want to go through, and I was reading through Bronstetter's like bullet points just before we started recording, and the stuff that they're saying and the reactions, the stuff from this Tyler, whatever his name is, I forget the guy's, the USADA guy. Apparently it's not Jeff Nowitzki anymore. It's some dude. Tyler,
some
something.
Guy we've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah,
comes
yeah.
Comes out of the woodwork now.
All
right?
Of a sudden, Jeff Nowitzki's like that part. Of, yeah, he's not down with them. He's whatever. He's down with the UFC and whatever they want to do. So I don't get, it's crazy. But yeah, 43 minutes. So like, just as we're getting ready to record, USADA said after all their media stuff, they said, we stand by our statement and our credibility. That's per Bronstetter again with the really good bullet points. So if you're not following him on Twitter, he does a really good job of giving you a nice list. But it's insane. It's insane that this is happening. And I mean,
now the lighter drug testing opens the door to bring WWE guys in.
You want to know what's funny? Like,
come together.
When I was in my notebook for today's pod is a mess, because when I was making notes as this was happening earlier, I'm like, you know, Jack Slack put out a funny tweet that he was like, you know, they'll use WWE's wellness program, and I was like, you know, that I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And then he said something to the fact that, oh, you know, Jeff Nowitzki, which it looks like that's happening actually. He was like, Jeff, with USADA gone, Jeff Nowitzki is going to be their drug guy, and it's just going to be the way, you know, the way they did Mark Ratner when he was part of, you know, Nevada. Now he's a UFC guy. Nowitzki's now, it looks like he's a UFC guy now, but now they have this DFSI and freaking Liam Neeson to test drug guys. Not Liam Neeson, George Pirro, but you know, that's my Taken joke. Now I'm going to call him Liam Neeson. Every time we refer to him on the, because we will be referring to him a lot in the future.
I just think it's funny. The UFC hires these guys that were supposed to be like regulators. That these guys, the guys that were supposed to be kind of butting heads with the UFC mm-hmm. and making sure they stayed in the on the clean and narrow, are the same guys who the who all of a sudden get hired when they back out. It's just it's such a wild thing of of. I'm sure there's so much behind the scenes. It's just got to be insane. The deals and the stuff that goes on, because I mean, it just doesn't, but I like, I've always said, I don't care about PEDs. Everybody does it. It's part of this fight. We're watching guys in a cage.
You want to know what's funny is because like one, a very young guy I trained with, who's hopefully we'll be having him on the podcast soon, and he'll be fighting. Shout out to Jaden Adesso that fucked up my knee, but he's going after training and competing a lot. You know, he just told me, and I was proud of him for doing. He's like, I just watched the Smashing Machine documentary, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, that's required viewing for anyone that wants to watch combat sports. And you know, the whole thing, the focus on just PEDs and stuff with the career of Mark Kerr and kind of how that derails him. It just still goes to show you how long it's been a thing.
But a lot of his was painkillers and stuff.
Yeah, like but that. Still.
But obviously, you know, you could look at their, you know, their physiques and see that they look like, you know, Mr. Olympus and stuff in the cage. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see how serious it is, because, like I said, USADA wasn't catching people. Like, you know, there was not, you don't hear about people getting popped all the time. Maybe once every 3-4 months, you hear some random, you know, guy from, you know, Russia or Ukraine or something comes in and he pops before he even fights in the UFC. And
then you had a lot of fighters that did come under fire, that even like Josh Barnett, where he talked about how he spent a lot of his own money to defend himself against USADA when they cost him all the time. They cost him and a couple other fighters. I forget who the other one was.
Tom Lawler.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff that you know, like they, if anything for anybody, whether you're a fighter or whatever, your most valuable asset is your time. And if you're costing someone time away from something that you're passionate about doing, that's a really fucked up thing to do to somebody. So, I mean, regardless of the reason, when, why, or where, and if it was dirty, if it was clean, you know, it's just that the making, you know, I do feel for those guys for having to go through that. But, maybe this change will just make it less so. Like you said, it's going to be really bad. Like they're literally going to have to catch somebody, you know, with a needle, just be shooting something in the UFC PI and to get caught. I mean, I know Andy Foster expressed gratitude. I think he was happy about the decision that the USADA relationship was ending. But I mean, between now, it's October. We only have 2 months, October, November, December. We're halfway through October, so November, December, you know, of them still having to work with USADA, unless this gets uglier, you know, and they just say that. But I don't know how ugly it's going to get, because it was literally still going on as we started recording.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy.
We'll have to see how it unfolds. It's there's
it's funny though. You gotta admit.
No, it is funny,
like especially for you and me.
Yeah, I mean, I expected the clown show of the day to be Dylan Danis smashing Logan Paul on the head with a microphone, and here we are 6 hours later and clown shoes are in the UFC and on USADA. I mean, it's just a funny back and forth, and now it's all public and everything for a $10 billion company. Like, just I wouldn't even acknowledge USADA. Cut the contract tomorrow, start your testing tomorrow, tell your fighters you're gonna start testing in 2 weeks. I mean,
yeah, get Liam Neeson, like, in me, have him send out a memo,
because you do bring up a good point that you. Like, it would be pretty crazy if all of a sudden, you know, the night before
Madison Square Garden,
or the night before the other one, all of a sudden, you know, Colby Covington pops, and then or before yeah,
John
you know,
Jones and
you got the living picograms. Yeah. Apparently, you can have picograms for your entire life now.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is now apparently the official stance of the UFC is that once you do steroids once, you can have them in your system forever. So even if you test positive, it's okay. Chael Sonnen might come back. I mean, he might.
I don't know. He seems pretty happy with what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just joking. Yeah. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen here. But and then the whole McGregor thing to circle back on that a little bit. Like, it's clear what he did. McGregor shouldn't deserve the benefit of the doubt at this point. What has he ever done to deserve the benefit of the doubt? He makes a joke of himself every single step of the way. Even the fighters know. Chandler knows what he's getting into.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler's been accused of PEDs for his whole career, going back to Bellator. And he's passed a million of these kind of tests.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, and again, I'm not accusing Chandler of anything, but, you know, there was some fights he looked like, you know, the Incredible Hulk in the cage. You know, it's just the truth, you know, and I don't know. I think that the USADA being gone, I think the invasion, I think that 2 a.m. showing up to knocking on your door.
Yeah.
I think that not being involved is good because that doesn't go on in any other sports. And these guys, again, are not they're not employees. They're contractors. So, again, mm-hmm. The invasion of privacy for a private contractor seems kind of odd to me, how they were just able to decide that. Of course, there's no bargaining. When they're not a union, they don't have any kind of – they have no strength. So the UFC can do whatever they want to them and but let's talk a couple of those fights real quick, and then we'll see what time we got left. Maybe refresh a little bit of the past Bellator weekend. But you know, you mentioned those top two fights.
Let me bring them up. UFC 294, October 21st, from Abu Dhabi. Here it is. Islam Makhachev and Alexander Volkanovski. Was originally Makhachev and Oliveira, and then Kamaru Usman versus the number one 170-pounder versus the number four middleweight. I forget where he is because he's fought in different weight classes. Kamzat Chimaev, the UFC's favorite guy to blow up when they're over there, I guess. Those two fights, in my opinion, got way more interesting than what was initially there. I didn't mind Costa versus Chimaev, you know, but this is definitely more interesting to me, especially it seems like if they do 185, well, it's listed as middleweight on the UFC.com website for the event page.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of gives Usman a little bit of a break of not having to make weight on such short notice. And, you know, maybe he's just more comfortable and we can expect an explosive Usman. And then obviously with the Volkanovski Makhachev, their last time they fought, it was a split decision for Makhachev, right?
Yes. I do like the Usman Chimaev fight. There is some curiosity how Usman rebounds coming off of his back-to-back losses to Leon Edwards. Like you said, we're going to see kind of a fresh and healthy Usman, not depleted at all. So I'm curious to see what he looks like in the cage. And I'm curious to see if he's able to be out wrestled, because essentially I think that's what we come down to here is I feel like Chimaev was going to boat race Costa. I feel like he was going to drag him down, and I don't know if Costa has that heart to be able to rally, or the gas tank, or any of that. If he were to get mauled for 3 minutes in a row, 4 minutes in a row in early in a fight. I'm curious to see where that's at with Usman, because Usman's at kind of an interesting stage here. If he loses this fight, especially if he gets whooped in this fight, he might not, you know, where does he fall in the middleweights? You know, and then you go back and you go, well, if Edwards continues to win, Usman's got to be, I mean, you're going to be a handful of fights away from another title shot. And he's not super young. So I think that becomes an issue. I have to pick Chimaev to win the fight, because he's been essentially flawless in his UFC career. Obviously, the Burns fight had its moments, and that also kind of creates. But that was him cutting down in weight too. So this is both of them kind of at their big boy weights, and I'm interested to see. But I think Chimaev, his wrestling. Yeah. It seems like he's going to be the bigger man in the cage, at least in my mind. I'd have to see him square off, but I think he's going to be able to use his strength in wrestling and do what all those guys do.
I'm assuming just because while you're doing your breakdown, I'm trying to do, usually when we do these breakdowns, we do this sort of drop down to show them, like Magomed Ankalev and Johnny Walker, the way it looks right here. I'm trying to do it now with that matchup. on UFC.com, and I'm guessing because it's just, you know, less than 48 hours new, they haven't put their stats up yet. So nice job, UFC.com, billion-dollar company. Can't update the website fast enough, but so I was distracted with what you said towards the end there about the matchup. Are you picking? You said you're just curious, or you're picking?
I think Chimaev's gonna win. I think he's gonna win. I think he's gonna wrestle him and drag him around and pick up a decision win. Probably a three. No, this is a 5-round fight. I think it's 5 rounds. Yeah. If I remember right, I read it was 5 rounds. That might change things because we've never seen, you know.
Is it? Oh, wait, why would it be? There's no title.
I thought that that was. No, it says 3x5. Okay. On Tapology, it says 3x5. Yeah. So I thought I had heard it was a 5-round.
No, I don't see why it would be, just because, I mean, none of them are champions. So the.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was something that Usman had worked into the deal in order for him to take the fight on late notice. That he'd want a fight that's longer to.
I don't know why he'd want to do that on short notice.
But I mean, because nobody's seen Chimaev really go past 3 rounds and
yeah, strategically, burns. He was
kind of wore out. So yeah. I think maybe that would be your strategy is go after kind of the new blood and drag him into deep waters. And
I honestly feel like Usman maybe is confident enough that he can do that in 3 rounds, unless. Because when I think about, you mentioned the Burns fight with Chimaev. Chimaev was noticeably winded in that fight, and he took some lumps from Burns. Like Burns survived his wrestling, and I think Usman can do the same. I know you're picking Chimaev, but he's +285 underdog on the UFC.com website, and they get their odds from DraftKings. So right now. And this is a week and a half before the event, +285. I'm liking Kamaru Usman a lot. Maybe he can decision him. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a TKO, to be honest with you, because I know he's got some power in his right hand. So I'm way more interested in this matchup. They let me do it for this one. So Makhachev and Volkanovski will drop down. But for some reason it's got about
an 18-hour lead start on the other fight.
Billion-dollar company.
They need to get one of the SEAL team members that brought down Bin Laden.
Yeah, him
to run their internet now.
They got to get Edward Snowden to work on their website.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. someone to handle updating their website.
Yeah.
I probably have an odd take on this fight. I kind of wanted I'm surprised the UFC didn't go the Gamrot route. You had it on the table, and it would have been a way to kind of get him out of the way, in a sense. It's a good rematch. It's just another rematch. It's the reason why the Oliveira fight just felt kind of stale to me, because it's just another rematch. And, you know, yeah. I hear people all the time bashing boxing for rematches. And meanwhile, UFC is replacing a rematch with another rematch. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a great fight. It's a fight that had to happen, but I feel like it's a fight that should have had more hype. Mm-hmm. You know, another, you know, a couple wins for each guys, and then you do the Clash of the Titans again is how I would have, how I would have liked to see it unfold. You had Topuria already lined up with Volkanovski, and you could have brought in Gamrot. You could have got rid of a couple of those challengers, mm-hmm. and if they would have picked up great wins, then you could do a big clash. And then this fight takes place, you know, they're already talking about going to Saudi Arabia. I mean, it seems to me like they just want to milk the local cow. You know what I mean? They want, if it's Makhachev, okay, we're going to Dubai. We're going to Middle East. If it's, you know, Israel, we're going to, you know, we'd like it if we can get him in Australia or New Zealand. And mm-hmm. I understand that, but when you're not having a lot of fights in those countries, it seems like Makhachev wins this fight, we probably won't see him for another, you know, 8 months until maybe they go back there again. It seems like that's a trend that's kind of forming. You mentioned about Chimaev. I don't know, but I'm going to go with Islam in this fight. I'm going to go with him to win more. I think he wins more emphatically this fight. or especially early in the fight, I think he's going to do damage. I think he's got a full training camp. You got a late notice fighter. Volkanovski doesn't have to cut weight for this fight, which is obviously good, but also in a sense, you don't know what kind of actual shape that they were in. Yeah. You hope that they're not cutting weight to get to, you know, you're not cutting too much weight to get to that 155, you know? So
yeah, what do they have this at? Is this
Oh, it's lightweight. It's a lightweight. It's lightweight. Title.
So I feel like that benefits Volkanovski too.
It does, unless you're walking around at 180 or 185 and you're not in great shape, and then you're going to cut 30 pounds in the next 3 days. You know what I mean? It depends how prepared. Now, he had a fight not too long down the thing, so I doubt he was out of shape or undisciplined there, but you never know. It'll be interesting to see how the weigh-ins go for this, considering, honestly, the history, too, of Makhachev.
Yeah. Hold on. My camera just conked out, so give me 1 second to turn it back on, but you can still hear me, so let me just get out of here. I just looked up the record. It wasn't a split decision last time. It was a unanimous decision for Makhachev, but I remember I disagreed with it. That's why I'm saying split decision. So but yeah, I'm kind of just like, I don't really see a downside for Volkanovski here. And because of, I'm going to rewatch it when we're done recording. So, you know, we always put up our Twitter stuff, you know, our socials when we end the pod, but I'm definitely going to rewatch it. And if I change my mind, I'll change it. But for right now, I think Volkanovski can beat him, because I think he did really well against him. I think he did better than, you know, a lot of folks give him credit for it. I definitely don't agree with, I'm looking at the MMA record on Wikipedia. It has him as a unanimous decision. I remember disagreeing with that when I saw it. So I'm definitely going Volkanovski. I mean, what are the odds on him right now? Again, he's plus 270.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, we're week and a half away from it. So that's a nice little parlay right there. Usman and Volkanovski. I might have to mess around and get stupid with my FanDuel or whatever I bet on fights with. But
we'll see.
Really quick before we even, I mean, it's so far out. Anything could happen with this card. I mean, apparently the UFC will have a lot of freedoms with their regulation, but overall, I mean, the card is not bad. There's some fighters on there that might not be familiar to you because of where they're at. They're pulling them from because, you know, they always try to pull a couple. Usually they try to pull a couple local guys, but the prelims, Tim Elliott versus Muhammad Mukhayev, that's a great flyweight bout. That's probably going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if that fight wins fight of the night. Homeboy Trevor Peak is going to go in there and probably hammer fist whoever this silhouette Muhammad Yahya to death. It's gonna be a great card. It's early, 10 a.m. So that's a little early for me, but I guess you don't mind that too much. Was that middle of the day, lunchtime for you?
No, 10 a.m. for you is
it's earlier. Oh yeah, so that's worse for you.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I don't mind getting it done. I got a couple other things on Sunday, so or Saturday. Yeah. So fight'll be done by one-ish my time and should work out. So
yeah, it should work out. But so let's try to get some you were at Bellator 300 last weekend, and I have it crossed out because I was gonna ask you since you were there and I could not be. I saw Jimmy Smith talk about how it was kind of like, you know, sad or whatever, but did you get that out of that event? It seemed like it just went by like a regular Bellator event for me sitting here watching at home.
No, it definitely had a feel. First of all, I got to say it because I got to, when something shitty, I'm going to say it. They had the worst sound. The San Diego Sports Arena, the Pechanga Arena, is terrible. It's probably the worst sports arena in the country. And people generally bring in their own sound systems. Well, Bellator, I think, went on the cheap. I think Viacom decided to go on the cheap. The sound in the arena was absolutely was pathetic. I mean, I couldn't tell whose name was being announced, and I was five rows away, you know, from the ring cage. So it was one of those things. Like, I had no idea what was being said during the whole thing. So that was kind of a downer, because it was just crappy production on that side. But on the good side, I loved that, like, Pride entrance, the Ryzen.
Yeah, I like that too. From right home, I love that. Yeah.
You know, that was cool on the stage where they brought everybody out. They had the background fireworks and the flares and all everything else going. That was cool. It's just I couldn't understand what they were saying when they were introducing people. So it was kind of crappy in that sense. But I saw Jimmy Smith. He walked by me. I was able to wave him down and shake his hand and thank him for, you know, again, for all the things that he did for me over the last 14 years being around Bellator. I mean, the dude introduced me to Fedor. He will always be somebody dude. That will.
You talked to him. You didn't ask him to come on this podcast.
He was seeing a lot of old friends. I don't recognize a lot of the people from, I don't know the faces from Viacom and stuff that he was mentioning and all that, but I did notice that there was a lot of hugging, a lot of daps, and just a lot of just, you know, good to see you again kind of thing. So I was able to say, you know, thank him and shake his hand again. And first time I'd see Jimmy Smith out in a fight for, I mean, since his last Bellator.
Yeah, because then he went to do WWE.
And then he went to WWE, and then, you know, I went to WrestleMania, and he lost. They took him away from WWE, like, that week. So it was, first time to kind of run into him. And, you know, he, especially with the facial hair now, he doesn't super remember me, but he knows who I am. And, you know, and then when I mention, you know, I ring his mind, and he go, you know, he knows what he's done for me and stuff like that. So, good man. But I kind of feel what he was saying. That's kind of what, there was a little bit of that feel to it, like, okay, like, why are all these people here? You know what I mean? Like, if it's just a regular event and they're not going anywhere, or things are not happening, then why am I seeing these guys? Now, Bellator brought everybody, man. There was a lot of fighters there. You know, they have, you know, Nate Diaz came in. I don't know if they ever showed him on screen, but he was there.
Yeah, I saw photos. I don't know if they showed him on screen, but I did.
You know, the Nemkov was there. Nemkov, I saw. Was there. Hoyce Gracie was there.
Chael obviously was there.
Chael was there. Phil Davis was there. Lance Larkin. I mean, a lot of the Bellator fighters as well. But Angela Hill was there. There was just a lot of. It was kind of the old school feel on the floor where there's like, okay, there's a lot of people around. Like, but as far as like the feel, it definitely felt like a little bit of a It felt like it was a somber kind of atmosphere, at least for me. I don't think it was for the people that were with me, because a couple of them, it was their first time going to an event. But I did notice a little bit of a different atmosphere, at least. Maybe it was just me. Maybe it's just me. You know, maybe it's just my, you know.
No, it obviously wasn't. It obviously wasn't just you. If Jimmy Smith was talking about it on, I mean, he made a couple of. I know he did a couple of podcast interviews about it, and then, you know. Coker was asked on Media Day Wednesday about an update on what's going on, and he didn't want to answer just then. And then he said, "I'll answer that on after the event on Saturday." And we thought, and I think he thought so too, that he'd have some sort of update, because he reminded everybody a few times after the event was that remember he's an employee under the Viacom Paramount, you know, whole thing that owns Bellator currently. He's an employee too, so he knows as much as they're letting employees know. But his job is to be the president of Bellator MMA, and what his job entails is him trying to move forward with events, and he's going to keep trying to do that. Bellator still advertising 301. You know, you got guys like Helwani saying shit like that, you know, nobody wants to pay for it, and 300 might be it, and couple of other guys that want to be famous on Twitter for saying, you know, that's a wrap too. And what you're telling me about the sound and stuff, maybe there's some truth to it. You know, I'll believe you, or, you know, because you were your boots on the ground before these fucking, you know, yo-yos that are trying to break news from miles away from the people that actually know anything. But, you know, when Scott Coker said that, I was just like, we have to remember that, yeah, you know, a lot of people want to blame fault on him and all that shit. But I mean, it's just like, you know, the guy probably is not being told everything he wants to know either. And sure, I'm sure he knows more than he can say. But again, he's probably contractually obligated to not say what he wants to say. So I like what he did with Bellator. I think he got real fun with the tournaments and cross promotion with Ryzen. I think Scott Coker's ideas were just ahead of where MMA was when he did them, like the Dynamite shows and you know, but like people are talking about one championship, but Scott Coker already mixed kickboxing and MMA in events, you know, in the past multiple times, and he's cross promoting. He's not hating on other promotions. He's literally willing to work with other promotions. So he's a good guy for the sport, man. I don't agree with the folks that try to bash him. So I think it's worth mentioning that he said that, because not everybody pays attention to his, you know, it's not like Dana White post fight press conferences where everybody fucking watches it to watch him lose his temper and turn red. You know, Coker's actually a pretty mellow guy and says some good things. He actually loves martial arts.
Yeah. I mean, everything you said is true. I mean, could I nitpick and say, yeah, in hindsight, like there's some things that I would have liked to have seen with Bellator. I mean, I've criticized them. I brought up things that I thought that they were doing that perhaps was costing them fans or, you know, some engagements with fans over the years. But, you know, I mean, in hindsight, if their finances were so bad that they can't be going, I mean, it doesn't matter. Maybe keeping smaller shows and not, you know, running the kind of the Indian reservation thing between, you know, that Bjorn Rebney was kind of doing for the vast majority of his run. And, maybe it wasn't successful then either, because otherwise they wouldn't have got rid of him and, you know, everything. So, you know, but he brought a lot of good fighters in. He put on a lot of good events. So, like I said, I mean, it was just, it's in my mind, for me personally, it's been 36 nights of entertainment with friends and family and at times out enjoying it, watching it in person, and then several hundred, 180 times watching it at home on TV or whatever the number is, you know? Mm-hmm. So, or 280, whatever, you know? So, you know, I hate to see something leave. That's what, for me, it was like, it wasn't so much the feeling of like, okay, this is it. It was like, this sucks that another one's going to be gone. Because people have been around, like me and you have been around, for the fall of so many organizations that were entertaining.
And that's what's crazy. There's so many organizations popping up. When you think about it, there's so many like smaller organizations popping up. It should be harder for an organization to fail. But I know I said it on Twitter, and a couple other people have already been tweeting it. You know, not for nothing. Like, why didn't Viacom, you know, I think we said it last week too. Why didn't they put more events on CBS? You wait till they're about to sink, and you put one event on CBS because it was Fedor, and that was it. Like you could have put a few events on CBS, garnered interest.
They all should have been on CBS. They didn't even have to be live on CBS. They could have been live on Showtime and then replayed on CBS at midnight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they could have got it on there. They could have done it at 2 a.m. I don't care how you put it on there, but it allows people to use a DVR that don't pay for Showtime, watch the fights. You know, I don't know. You mentioned all the other organizations. Not a lot of other organizations really have giant crowds. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, but there's so many popping up. It should be harder to fail now. And if they do get sold or they go away or whatever the hell all these people are saying, it's the fault of the current owners, the folks at Viacom, CBS. I mean, back your shit, man. You own the thing. Promote the hell out of it. Push it. You know what I mean? It's just,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've had pretty, you know, and I don't mean to insult anybody who might be a friend of yours or somebody you've worked with or you know, who's behind the scenes, but like, their social media hasn't been great. You know, it just hasn't. It hasn't been great. It hasn't always been terrible, but it's not, you don't, you know, and then you got nobody else announces it. You know, it got brought up by Josh Thompson something a year ago or so, like with the Ryzen event. Like, it doesn't get a whole lot of publicity when you're blacked out basically from Fox Sports and ESPN. You know, like, and even Fox Sports doesn't count anymore. If you're not on ESPN getting, you know, put across the ticker on the bottom, then you're really, you know, you're borderline considered relevant. And unfortunately they fell into that. And when the UFC, you know, went into a deal with ESPN, it kind of secured that lock of, okay, well, we're never going to advertise any of our competitors' fights. Now they're all, it's a sport. That's the thing. Like they advertise as MMA. Well, they're not really MMA. They're UFC. The ESPN is UFC's broadcast partner. You know, they don't, it'd be like only showing, you know, Dodger games, you know, and then advertising you as being the worldwide leader in baseball. No, you showed one team's games, you know, that's basically what you're doing. So, and not every Bellator event deserved the headlines, but there were several fights that that push here or there, or some, you know, some headline, you know, Sports Center news, you know, announcing a fight or showing a press conference or a weigh-in could have probably went a long way to help some stuff. But I just don't think that they, I think that they were always just kind of a step behind, especially
it keeps dragging though. And that's one of the other things Scott Coker said is, you know, cause back in August, he was like, we'll have something in 60, 90 days. Here we are at that mark, and there's still no update. And now it's frustrating for the fighters too, because especially the fighters that are signed with them and you've renewed contracts with them. And it's like, you know, this is their livelihood. I mean, literally, Aaron Jeffrey just posted on his Instagram, like I need to know what the hell's going on so I can get at it. You know, like the guy just wants to fight. Like all these guys just want to fight. They had a Leo McCourt and Cyborg face off. You know what I mean? Which by the way, you call that like you call that fight like right on the money, first round. I don't understand why Kat Zingano was so uptight about the way it ended, but you know, that's a whole other story. But yeah, man, it's just like. I mean, the fighters need to know. I mean, otherwise, what if they start going on their own? Are you gonna like sue them if they because they want to fight and make money? You know, Johnny Eblen and Aaron Jeffrey should be, that match should be booked. But I mean, yeah, obviously, we've seen history has shown like having a broadcast partner counts for a lot. I mean, with Pride, when they lost their deal with Sky Perfect TV, that's pretty much when the fall of Pride happened and all the stuff that happened. And, you know, like one championship, if they're doing well, it's because of their thing with Amazon Prime. I mean, I hope so. I mean, hell, if Bellator wound up on Amazon Prime, I would literally like not need to watch sports anywhere else except Spectation Sports, which if you're looking for.
I think the hope is that PFL does buy it and they were able to have good leadership and I mean that's all we got right now.
There's like eight leaders there.
Well, that's all we have though. All we have to do, because right now, like if it doesn't work, then there is no competition. Not that there really is for the UFC, but like if PFL buys up one of the other ones and then they fail and they go down the tubes, it's a two for one shot and it's over. You mentioned those fighters and stuff. They're under contract. They're going to have to abide by the contract. But it's interesting that Cyborg and McCourt, Cyborg was basically booking the fight for New Year's for Ryzen. You know what I mean? And Cyborg's smart when it comes to promoting herself. And she can see the writing on the wall. I'm sure her team, you know, Ray Elby and those guys see the writing on the wall, you know, and they're already angling for Ryzen. And it's smart.
Yeah,
because you start to angle for that, and you know I don't, you know, and then she always Cyborg. The thing with Cyborg in PFL is you always got that Kyle Harrison and then Pacheco matchups.
Yeah,
so you really have two fresh new competitive matchups for Cyborg, which in theory could really headline a fairly big event if they went to the right location.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If you come to Southern California, you bring Harrison, or I mean, you know, Harrison could probably do an East Coast show. You could probably do a New Jersey thing with Harrison and Cyborg, you know, and put a nice amount of people in seats and turn a profit if you do it right. I don't know, man, it's going to be an interesting, I mean, who knows what the news is going to be? Like you said, it might be broken right now. Usually during our show, something crazy goes down. But I just hope that you mentioned the fighters. You got the employees. You got Cutman. You got everybody. Hey, you got referees that are booked. You know, Herb Dean might be booking himself for November 17th or whatever it's supposed to be for Bellator. And if that goes out, then none of the, if they just decide to fold that event in a couple weeks or a month from now, yeah. I mean, personally, as a fan, I wouldn't touch the event right now. I wouldn't book flights. I wouldn't book hotel. I wouldn't buy a ticket. I would wait and see, because it doesn't, when they're telling you they're going to not going to make it, you kind of got to believe what they're telling you.
Yeah.
You know, when Viacom's not out the door come this month, then how would you think an event next week month would go? And what would PFL, and PFL's going to just,
I think the guy making the calls over there though is just, I mean, you know, ever since it was Kevin K was the one that liked MMA and loved Bellator and the UFC and mixed martial arts. And when he was out the door, it seems like that was the beginning of the end, you know? So whoever that guy is now, I mean, I kind of relate him. If you guys, for any folks that are readers out there, there's a book called The Psychopath Test, where by John Ronson or Ron Johnson. I always mess up his name, but there's a chapter in there where he talks about the Sunbeam Foods guy. His name was Al Dunlap, and they used to call him Chainsaw Al. And all he did was fire people and lay people off to save money, to the point that the company folded. But he walked away with his fat pockets, and it just seems like that's what's happening over there. So, but.
I don't know. We'll see.
Fingers crossed for them, because I love Bellator. I love their people, love their staff. Danny Brander, CJ Tuttle, shout out to you guys, always treating me and everybody really good for that wants to cover the sport. You know, it's a shame that they're putting those people that are actually good for martial arts through this shit. So anyway.
Yeah, well, hopefully all those people are able to pick up with the deal going through. And, you know, I mean, maybe there would be a positive to run Bellator separate. At least you keep those people on payroll for another little while, and perhaps allow people to kind of figure out what the future is going to, you know, unfold like here. So anyways, we got, so that's Bellator. But overall, just real quick to not end it on a sad note, fights were fun. Main event was lackluster. Cyborg fight was exciting. Mm-hmm. Crowd went crazy for Ali Malay. Sad to see the fight end that way. Prelims were okay. It was a 6.5 out of 10. It wasn't the best show ever. It had its moments.
I like that. I mean, watching at home, I like that virtual reality thing they did with the opener. They did the Pride opener, but if you haven't checked out the broadcast, they did the mixed reality thing with the Bellator 300 logo and stuff like that, and it was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff's cool, and you know, hopefully the weird thing was, while I said the sound was bad, it was the biggest stage they've ever had. The screen was huge.
Hmm.
If usually they have the two on the side or the one, you know, like
Sakaki Barra was there too. I wonder if he was that's why they did the Pride.
Yeah, like it was like the same size screen as they had for one. I mean, it was huge.
Hmm.
So that was kind of weird, and it looked great. The optics of the stage and all that stuff was great, but like the sound sucked. So I don't know if that was just an oversight. Maybe I don't know. There's no excuse for it, but that's neither here nor there, but we wish the best to them. Like you said, a week and a half, we got the UFC fights. So hopefully the fights we talked about hold, you know, they're late, but let's see if they hold.
Yeah.
And we'll see kind of what goes from there. Our boy, John Brumley, is fighting on the 21st.
The same day.
On the same day, that night though. So
you can watch UFC and then you can watch John Brumley if you're out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, he's fighting for Up Next Fighting, headlines by another one of our former podcast guests, James. That's kind of going to do it. I mean, I don't think there's anything else really kicking off this week. There's no BKFC.
There is a UFC event at the Apex.
Youssef versus Barboza should be an exciting fight, but that's about it. So fans can follow us at Combat Hour on Twitter, at Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeersol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. And as always, you can check us out at allaccessmma.com. Check out allaccessmma.com for our MMA podcast, their MMA news, and their MMA stories. Have a good time. Good night, everyone. Stay safe.
We'll catch you a week after next.
That's it.